What's up, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Phillies Today as we look ahead to the second half now with the Home Run Derby, All-Star Game, everything behind us. But I do want to talk about that today. So, yes, the All-Star Game and all those festivities are in the rearview mirror now, but we got to recap it because there were a lot of Philadelphia Phillies involved in the game and the Derby as well. Alec Bohm outperforming the expectations. So I want to talk about the All-Star Game and everything that happened. And then, so that's going to be the first half of today's show. And then second half will be things that I'm looking for in the second half from your fightings, expectations, things, just general things that I'm going to be looking at. Heading into, looking at the second half of the 2024 season, where the Phils, they're on pace to get that franchise record and wins. It's really exciting. Hopefully they can continue to play this amazing brand of baseball that they've played in the first half of the season and carry that on to the second half. So first things first, let's get to the All-Star Game festivities and all that. The recap of the last 3 or 4 days. So overall, Phils had a good All-Star Game. Phils had a really good All-Star Game. Trey Turner, Bryce Harper, and Alec Bohm all were able to get a hit in the game. That's something that not a lot of players can say that they did, even if they make an All-Star team. So for all three of those guys to represent the city and represent their team and for them to get a hit was awesome. So shout out to Turner, Bryce, and Bohm all getting a hit. And they were all mic'd up in, what was that, like the second or third inning. And Turner makes that play at shortstop. And while he's mic'd up, that was cool. But besides that, it was kind of a short half inning anyway, so we didn't really get too much from that. They took a shot at Bryson Stott, to open while they were talking to Joe Davis and John Smoltz. So that was cool. It was funny. So it was cool. I liked it. Christopher Sanchez, Jeff Hoffman, and Matt Strom all don't give up a run. They combined for about the inning in two-thirds. Christopher Sanchez throws two pitches in two-thirds of an inning. Matt Strom comes in for a third, throws five pitches, and Jeff Hoffman comes in for a third of an inning and pitches and throws four pitches. So Hoffman, Strom, and Sanchez combined for, what is that, 11 pitches. Look at that, 11 pitches in about an inning and two-thirds of work. Or an inning and a third, actually, because Strom and Hoffman were two-thirds, and so there you go. So, but still, didn't give up a run. So all the Phils got a hit. All the pitchers that were there, Sanchez, Hoffman, and Strom, don't give up a run. So they all did their job. And you can only do so much because the American League wins once again. American League wins the All-Star Game once again, which I feel like is every single year. So happens once again. So shout out to all the Phils in the All-Star Game for doing their things. A couple other things I want to mention from the All-Star Game before we get to Alec Bohm's Home Run Derby performance. Jerseys still suck. And we all know this. The jerseys still suck. I don't know what's going to happen with the jerseys going forward. I don't have a lot of faith in Rob Manfred. I don't think a lot of us do. Most of us don't trust Rob Manfred. So, there's those quotes that Rob Manfred said. We hear the talk about the fans wanting the teams and players to go back to the original jerseys. But how much do we really believe Rob Manfred's going to do that? I don't know. My money's on that we're going to get different jerseys again next year. And the jerseys were horrible this season, or this All-Star Game. The blue jerseys were fine, but the pink jerseys, the American League, were really, really bad. Were awful. They were really, really bad. Other things from the All-Star games, that was good. That was a standout. Standouts for me. Shohei Ohtani hitting that bomb. My goodness. I mean, it's what you get from Shohei Ohtani. I mean, it just sounds different off of his back. Go back and watch the Twitter clip of Ohtani hitting that dinger to right field. It just sounds different off the bat of Shohei Ohtani. So only right that Ohtani hits a missile in the World Series. Jaron Duran winning All-Star Game MVP. He's having a hell of a season for Boston. I think he hit the go-ahead home run, right? And he ends up winning All-Star Game MVP. Pitching-wise, Mason Miller and Paul Skeens were my standouts. Paul Skeens, you know, didn't strike out the side like Pedro Martinez did in 1999, but Paul Skeens was really fun to watch. Mason Miller was insane. Third's the fastest pitch in All-Star Game history since the pitch tracking era in 2008 at almost 104 miles per hour. So that was insane. So those were my standouts from the All-Star Game. So Phil's had a good All-Star Game. Jersey sucked. And those guys were my standouts from the All-Star Game. Home Run Derby performance. Got to give the props to Alec Bohm. Give the props to Alec Bohm, okay? He performed a lot better than people expected. And no, people aren't really talking about it much, probably because he didn't win. And I get it. But Alec Bohm, 21 home runs in the first round? Come on. He was great. He showed out. 21 homers in the first round. He has the most home runs in the first round of the Home Run Derby. And everyone was talking about, oh, he's going to hit gappers and he's going to hit doubles. Like, remember, it's just the Home Run Derby. It's just batting practice. It's just batting practice. I've seen Bohm hit moonshots. We all have. Just because he hasn't hit 40 to 50 of them a year doesn't mean that he can't get up there in batting practice and hit a bunch of them, which he did in that first round. He's probably, you know, he probably hit his home run total for 2024 in that first round. That's my whole take on that, by the way. The 21 home runs in the first round, that'll be his home run total for the season. For the season, I'm guaranteeing that right now, which isn't a bad thing. I think he had 20 last year, so get one more this year, improvement. And then he ends up losing in the semifinals to Teoscar Hernandez in a swing off. So, you know, almost got to the finals. So, hey, Alec Bohm did his thing. Respect Alec Bohm for doing his thing in the Derby, okay? Because he was getting a lot of disrespect. And trust me, like at the same time, I was also a little bit skeptical because I was like, well, he's a weird pick because, like, it didn't really make sense. 11 home runs on the year. It's not like he's a super big power hitter. And I get that part. So I understand that. But still, you got to respect what he did in the Home Run Derby. A couple of more takeaways before we get to the outlook on the second half for your Philadelphia Phillies. A couple things in the Derby. And I actually want to mention one more thing about the All-Star Game, which I think is interesting. One thing about the Home Run Derby for sure, please go back to the 10 outs. I don't know if I've said it on Phillies Today before, but I've said it on other shows. I've said it on the airwaves, WIP. I've talked about it with people in general. Go back to 10 outs. Just do it. I didn't even mention this. Like, yeah, I saw the highlights of Bohm hitting his homers and all that. I'm going to be real with you guys. I didn't even watch the Derby. Like, I did not. I thought it, well, to be honest, I had an excuse. I worked afternoons, and then I had to come back in for the overnight, so I had to get sleep at one point. And it was like, well, you know what? I'm not going to lose sleep, literally, over watching the Home Run Derby. So I slept through it. I did, in our studios, we do have TVs in the studios. So, you know, naturally on SportsCenter, they were showing highlights of the Derby. I think they actually replayed the Derby overnight. And I was sitting there watching it for about 15 to 20 seconds, and I was like, I can't do this again. I'm not going to sit there and watch. It's like the Home Run Derby is unwatchable. With them throwing the pitch after pitch after pitch, I like to admire the home runs. I don't know about you guys out there. I would love to know your thoughts. I like to admire the home runs, and you cannot do that with the new format. And I know they even have a newer format this year as they don't have the head-to-head, but just in general, like the last 3 years, I haven't been able to enjoy the home run derby because of this new format. It's really, really frustrating. And I at least want to enjoy it a little bit, okay? How they had it for years with the 10 outs was just better. Was just better. So please go back to the 10 outs. And one more thing before we get to the second half. Was the All-Star game better when you were a kid? I've had two people tell me this or ask me this. One person was Phil Casey, AKYW. Shout out to Phil. He told me the reason why I enjoyed All-Star games and the festivities of the All-Star games were because you enjoyed it more as a kid. It's for the kids, which partially might be true about the whole kids thing. It partially might be true, but, and then I heard it on the Athletic Windup podcast yesterday, and I don't know if I necessarily agree. I just think like a lot of the All-Star games aren't as good as they were just generally because a lot of the players aren't taking it seriously. You know, some half the players back out, it seems like, in a lot of these All-Star games now. You know, baseball, it was better, to be honest, when it mattered. Like, when you had the World Series home field advantage on the line, it was taken more seriously. It was taken more seriously. The NBA All-Star game isn't what it used to be because players just don't care. Pro Bowl isn't even a thing anymore, let's be honest. So, I'm just curious about that, though. I would love to hear from you out there. On Twitter, @Rojas_media_. Was the All-Star game just better when you were a kid? Was that an actual thing? Or is that not a thing? To me, I understand it. And I see the viewpoint, but I disagree with it still. I disagree with it. Like, I think it's an interesting perspective, but I don't see it. So, it's not... I disagree with it still. So curious to know your thoughts on there. Again, Twitter @Rojas_media_. Okay, things I'm looking for. Let's all right, so all of that, it's all in the rearview mirror now. The All-Star game, the Derby, the Phillies first half. It's all in the rearview mirror now. Put the windows down. Look out the whatever. Look out your whatever that is. I'm not a car guy. I'm sorry. I know I tried to paint the picture and it did not go well. I'm sorry. Look ahead. You're on the highway driving down. We're going for 105 wins. That's what the Phillies are doing. They're keeping their foot on the gas pedal. We're trying to win this division. That is what this team is trying to do. So that's the first thing I'm looking for in the second half of this team is we got to keep the foot on the gas pedal to win this division. Do they need to have a perfect second half? Do they need to win 110 games? No. Do they need to win 105 games? No. But the Braves, they're still great. They're still very good. With the potential of being great. Okay? If you look at their offense, you know, they still have Riley. They still have Olsen. They still have Albies. No, they don't have... They do not have Ronald Acuna Jr. right now. I get that. But the Braves are still the Braves. The Braves still have offense. They're pitching. You know, Chris Sale has been awesome. Reynaldo Lopez has been awesome. Max Fried has been really good. The Braves... I just want to make the point. The Braves are still a very good, a really talented team. And you have to keep the foot on the gas pedal to win this division. No, you don't need to be perfect, but you need to be really good. And we need to keep the foot on the gas pedal. Okay? So remember that. Phils need to win. I want them to win this division, like we all do. But they need to keep the foot on the gas pedal. Do not step off of it because the Braves are still a good team. They're still a really good team with the potential and the talent pool there on that team to be a great team. So keep the foot on the gas pedal to win this division. It's number one. Number two, second thing that I'm looking for in the second half is what are the Phillies going to do with the trade deadline? I think like all of us are. Are they going to make a big move? I'm still getting the feeling that they're not. I still gut feeling says they're not going to make a big move. And that has not been Dave Dombrowski's MO here to make a big move at the deadline. Maybe he's done it in years past, but not here. And there was a report yesterday from John Heyman that the Phils are looking at Tommy Pham. It's them and the Royals. Wouldn't be opposed to that. I'm more in on the idea of a decent outfield bat. You don't need to sell the farm on a Luis Robert or a, I mean, I feel like you'd have to give up a pretty good haul to get Brent Rooker too. So Tommy Pham, I'm interested in. Definitely interested in Tommy Pham. But I'm curious what they're going to do at the deadline. Outfield bat, bullpen arm. I don't want Mason Miller. I know a lot of you want him out there. I'm not willing to give up the farm for a reliever. Not doing that. There's a lot of reports out there that Mason Miller is going to take a haul. I don't want to do that. Not giving up Andrew Painter, Aiden Miller, Justin Crawford for a guy. I know you have a lot of years of control on him, but it just doesn't make sense to me. Does not make sense. I don't want to do it for a reliever. Health is number three is what I'm looking at right now. You know, recently coming off, like with Harper being injured, Kyle Schwarber, JT Realmuto is currently injured, Spencer Turnbull injured right now, and Taiwan Walker also currently injured. And then you had your Trey Turner injury. He was out for a month. Brandon Marsh missed a few weeks. So the injury bug has hit the Phillies at different times. No, it has not destroyed them. Thank goodness. But I mean, also thank goodness for the depth that this team has, you know, with the rotation and how good the lineup is. But, you know, it has hit them. Kyle Schwarber, Bryce Harper, JT Realmuto, Trey Turner, they're all huge names. They're all superstars. They're all superstars. So I'm curious what it's going to be like health-wise heading into the postseason eventually. Can they be healthy enough heading into the postseason? All those guys right there. Number four, can Nick Castellanos and Bryson Stott get it going? I'm really, really curious to see, can Stotter and Ken Casty, can they both get it going at some point? Nick Castellanos, I'm not necessarily like, I don't trust Nick Castellanos to have a big time second half. Maybe he does. Maybe he does. But him being in a Philadelphia Phillies uniform, 2022, all of 2022 was not good. Had a good first half last year, second half not as good. I'm not trusting Nick Castellanos to just magically get it going for the Phillies. But it's obviously something I'm looking at and something all of the rest of us out there are looking at as well with Nick Castellanos is, can he get it going? And Bryson Stott on the other end. Bryson Stott has not been horrific, but, you know, he has been a guy, he's been a contact guy. And that's what, you know, kind of made his name last year. And it's something this year that where he's hitting under 240 that I think we're all looking for Bryson Stott to kind of get it going a little bit in the second half. And you saw at certain points last year, you know, he did have really good months. There were a couple of months there, I believe was July and August. I know for a fact on July there that he had 800 OPS. There are a few months there already at 800 OPSs, and that's what I'm looking for Bryson Stott is to get it going, you know, make contact, and maybe have a few hot months here. Have a few hot months because I think we want to feel good about Bryson Stott in general going forward, right? We just want to see and feel good about Bryson Stott in general going forward, not have to worry about him necessarily because that would be interesting. Stott is a good defender still. He's a very good defender. But need to see that OPS at least get back to league average. And because if he's not a decent hitter in the future, I mean, what do you do with him? What do you do with him? That's something to think about. So Bryson Stott, Looking for him to get it going in the second half, too. Last thing I'm looking for before we get out of here. I'm looking to see what the bullpen roles are going to be like, especially heading into the 2024 playoffs. What are the bullpen roles of this team going to look like? It's weird, right? Because Jose Alvarado has not been good the last, you know, pretty much since the London series. I feel like he has not been good. Gregory Soto, on the other hand, has been better the last couple of months. And I feel like right now, I feel like I almost trust Gregory Soto way more than I do Jose Alvarado. It's weird. It's weird, that dynamic. But Jeff Hoffman has been your best reliever. Orion Kerkering has been one of your better relievers. Matt Strom has been one of the best relievers in baseball. I'm really, really curious to see what the Phillies are going to do with the roles in this bullpen. Do they make a move at the deadline? That obviously would change things depending on who they would get at the deadline. I don't want to give up the farm for a Mason Miller. I mean, to be honest, I mean, if we did get him, I'd be stoked I'd be excited as a baseball fan. Be like, oh my God, we got Mason Miller on this team, but does it make sense? No. I don't want to harp too much on that, but I'm curious to see what the, you know, if they do make a move at the deadline, where what the roles will be. Because it's weird, because like the closer spot is important to me, but also it's important to have the guy you trust the most in the biggest spots in the game. The biggest spots in the game don't necessarily come in the ninth inning. Biggest spot in the game might come in the sixth or seventh inning. And I want Jeff Hoffman right now in the biggest spot in the game, in the highest leverage possible spot. So, like, yeah, I like Hoffman as the closer. I do. But I also want him in the biggest spots. And maybe it's Matt Strom. Maybe it is. Maybe it's Matt Strom. Maybe it's Kerkering. But I don't know with Kerkering yet. I don't know. Kerkering has been awesome this year. But I don't know yet. Matt Strom, maybe he's that guy. Maybe he is that guy. Maybe Strom in the high leverage situations and Hoffman closes. I'm not sure. We'll see. We'll see. Maybe it's a 2022 situation where they kind of just figured it out going into the postseason, and it was what? It was Eflin and then Sir Anthony and as a setup guy, and then Alvarado would close out games, right? Or maybe it was Alvarado would come in those setup situations, and then Sir Anthony would close. It was one of those combinations in the 2022 postseason. So that's the last thing I'm looking for there, is what are those bullpen roles going to look like, you know, over the next couple of months heading into the 2024 postseason, where I cannot wait for that postseason run this year. I cannot wait for the 2024 postseason. So let me know on Twitter at @Rojas_media_. Let me know all of your thoughts here. Derby, All-Star Game, jerseys, boom in the Derby. How the Phils in the All-Star Game, them being mic'd up. Harper doing the Wooder and Mr. Pandering King. Things you're looking for in the second half. Anything I didn't mention there. Anything that you're looking for in the second half that I did not mention. You're like, Fran, how did you not mention this? Like, I need to, what are we doing about this? Need to know. That's going to do it for me. I'm going to talk to you guys on Monday. It's the Pittsburgh Pirates, this series at Pittsburgh. Look forward to the second half starting. That's me, Francisco Rojas, and I'll talk to you guys soon.